Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we pray today that as we listen to your word, you would work in our hearts so that we would hear it, believe it, and live it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a first for me. I've been preaching here for 15 years, but this is the first time that I can speak to a branch of Living Vine Church. I was in Victoria a month ago when you took the vote to amalgamate all the Southern Barossa churches. And when I learned the outcome of that meeting, I gave thanks to God. And today I want to say thanks to all of you who made that possible. Now, this morning, God speaks to us in the gospel reading. And this reading is part of what is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. It takes up the whole of chapter 17 in the book of John. Now, Jesus prayed this prayer on the night when he was arrested, the day before he was crucified. And it's a heartfelt prayer, and it's a complex prayer. I like to think of it as a tapestry that's composed of many threads which are tightly knitted, woven together. And what I want to do in the next few minutes is pull out some of those threads which I think are important for us to hear today as the Living Vine Church. In this prayer, Jesus prays for his followers. That is, he prays for those who are with him on that night, Peter, James and John and all the rest of the disciples. And he prays also for those who would become believers in him through the witness and ministry of his disciples. And of course, that includes us. So in this prayer, Jesus prays for us. Now, Jesus' main request to his followers is that they be one. And Jesus, in chapter 17, he asks for this four times in the one prayer. And clearly he regards unity among his followers as vital, absolutely vital. Because it was for this reason that Jesus was born. This is the reason why he came into the world. He came into the world to break down the barriers between us and God and the barriers that separate us from one another. He came to give us peace with God and peace with one another. And he did this by dying and rising for us. Now, Jesus never says to his followers, "You must become one." And that's because we can't achieve unity by ourselves. Unity is his gift to us. It's a precious gift, won for us by Jesus and given to us in the gospel and in baptism. In the baptism, we are all gathered together into the one family of God. We become part of the one holy Christian apostolic church on earth. And as the song that we're going to sing in a little while puts it well, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. Now, Jesus prays that our unity will be modelled on the unity of God the Father and God the Son. Listen to him. "I pray that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." All right? Father and the Son are distinct persons. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. But they are one God, completely united in love and in purpose. Now, that's the kind of unity Jesus prays for us. Not uniformity, not having all the same sort of style of service, no. Not just organisational unity, not just having sort of one pastor and one committee among all these different branches of the church. No, Jesus prays for us to work together, to worship together, to weep together, to laugh together, to fellowship together, to be united in faith and hope and love. Now, Jesus' prayer also reveals why unity is so important. He says, Christian unity is a powerful witness to the peace Jesus has achieved for us on the cross. Listen to Jesus. He prays that we may be one so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We live in a world which is broken and divided and full of tension and division. And that's the way human societies are. That's normal. So imagine if you were not a Christian and you came across a community somewhere that was composed of young and old, rich and poor, black and white, Jew and Palestinian, Russian and Ukrainian, all living together in love and harmony, caring for one another. Imagine what an impact that would have upon you. Imagine how attractive that group would be to you and how it would invite you to come to faith in Jesus Christ, a powerful witness. Jesus' prayer reveals that unity among Christians is a powerful witness to the peace what Jesus has done on the cross. And conversely, division among Christians is a stumbling block for people coming to faith. I remember once reading a bit of graffiti, it was probably in Northern Ireland, where somebody wrote, "There are hundreds of Christian churches all preaching about the love of God and all hating one another." Now, it's not true, but there's some truth in it, isn't there? And that division is a stumbling block for people coming to faith. Yes, Jesus prays that tells us that the unity among Christians is in constant peril from the evil one. When Jesus prayed this prayer, he was aware that one of his disciples was getting ready to betray him, one of those who was right there with him. And so he prayed that his future followers would be protected from the evil one and protected from division. Listen to Jesus as he prays. "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so they may be one just as we are one." Now, the name of God stands for God himself. When we call on the name of God, God himself is present. And God's presence shields us from the evil attacks which fracture us and divide us. And we need to pray this prayer with Jesus, and we need to pray it often. Yes, we are saints in Christ. We are made holy through Christ, but at the same time, in each one of us there is this old sinful self. And this sinful self leads us to argue and criticize one another, and it leads us to hurt one another and divide us from one another. This sinful self shifts the focus away from God, and the focus comes on us. And we want to win the argument, and we want to come out on top. So when we sense that the evil one is at work among us, we need to pray with Jesus, "Holy Father, protect us by the power of your name. Protect us from needless division." One final thread that I want to draw out of this lovely tapestry from John chapter 17. Jesus prays, may they be brought to complete unity. Unity is a gift of God, yes, but it's also a work in progress. It's something that we need to work on. We are united in Christ, but we need to grow more closely together in love and service so that we can come to what Jesus calls complete unity. How does this come about? By keeping the focus on Jesus. Mm-hmm. By worshipping him together. By listening to his word. By sharing in the holy meal that he gives us, that we call communion. By praying to him and praying through him, and especially asking that the one Spirit, his one Spirit, would be in all of us. And by treating all our fellow members with love and respect. And by faithfully doing these things, we become knitted together more closely and more effective in our mission to others. Now, I know that this all sounds fairly sort of intellectual, a bit more like a Bible study than perhaps a normal sermon. So let me close with a simple illustration that I came across. Someone asked, how can 1,000 different pianos all play together in perfect harmony? And the answer is this. When those 1,000 pianos are all tuned by the one tuning fork, they will all be in perfect harmony. Think about that. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, keep us all attuned to Jesus so that we can worship and work and witness together in harmony and unity with one another. In Jesus' holy name we pray.